Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all a complete way of life. If you look at the other concepts of the world, you will find that the economical aspect of it is totally divorced, separated from the religious part of their lives. So we won't go into all those details, but dwelling on the Islam that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us, we will find that we have an integrated structure, earning a living, our business transactions, our buying and selling, our manufacturing, and every other aspect of the economical system of Islam is in actual fact part of our deen. Sometime back, we may have heard the incident or the anecdote of Allama Sadi Rahmatullah Ali, that once a person lost some coins in his house, and then that person goes out in the light of the light pole and he begins to look around, and a friend of his come past and he ask him, Hazrat, what are you doing? So this Hazrat says, I've lost some coins and I'm looking for my coins. So the two of them start looking, and then the neighbor comes and somebody else comes and somebody else comes, and 8, 9, 10 people are all looking around the lamp pole, the light pole, for the coins that this person had lost. One wise person eventually asked him, Brother, tell me something, where did you lose these coins? He said, I lost it in my house. So you and I also, in our house of Islam, in our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed all the issues of our entire deen, and that includes our commerce, our trade, our industry, our earning a living. And to this extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made it an ibadat. Thabit Bunani rahmatullah alayhi used to say that this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a matter of fact, ibadat, is divided into 10 portions. And 9 of those 10 portions are regarding how we earn our living, how we trade, or if we are in employment, or we are professional people, whatever our mode of income is. And then to further emphasize it, he says just 1/10 of it is our namaz, our zakat, our roza, our hajj, etc. Now this is not to undermine the importance of our ibadat, but this is to show us how important it is that the one aspect of our lives that will impact on every other aspect of our life. If this is not correct, the way we earn our living, then we will find that it will have a ripple effect on everything else in our lives. Not only our namaz and our ibadat, not only our rozas and our zakat, but it will impact on ourselves, it will impact on our character, our akhlaq, it will impact on our children, it will impact on the ease and the barakat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. If it is incorrect, a life of distress, a life of tension, a life of difficulty then abounds us. And then we look around us and we try to find out where is the problem, what has gone wrong. On the one hand, we will find that some of us, alhamdulillah, we try our best to earn a halal rozi, a halal income, halal sustenance. But there may be something that lacks. This is a very modern world. that we are living in, the larger framework of the economical structure of the world is one that is interest orientated. It is governed by people that are involved in interest and in riba. And sometimes because of our naivety, our oversight, we do not realize that we are breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insofar as these aspects are concerned. The commodity itself, the goods itself, may be 100% halal sellable. The way we are trading sometimes may be 100%, but just sometimes the sequence of a transaction, sometimes an investment that we make, and we do not realize that it may be an interest-orientated investment, and that comes back into our system, and now that begins to taint and contaminate all hard-earned halal rozi and sustenance. Many years ago when we were studying, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, came to the Darul Uloom, and somebody was explaining to Hazrat that there was some amount of money that had got stolen, and that was intended for the building of an institution. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him very great insight, and Hazrat made one statement that it was not necessarily regarding that funds, but Hazrat said that the power of haram is so great that even if 1 rand is of haram income and 1 million rand attached to it is halal, that power of that haram can be such it will take away that 1 million. Now this is from somebody who we had called the faqih of the time, somebody that was the jurist of the time, and he had this firasat, he had this insight to explain to us. So sometimes it is done unintentionally because of our naivety, because sometimes we may not realize. Now alhamdulillah, on the other hand, when we look at the various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to earning an income, we have heard many of them before. Just to touch on one or two, so that we get an understanding of how mubarak it is, how blessed it is, how much it is part of our deen to earn an income. Some of us create the segments and division between our deen and our income. But when we look at our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once appointed to oversee Medina Munawwara. In the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was gone out on an expedition. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back, obviously Hazrat Muadh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or rather he goes to meet him, to greet him. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts his mubarak hands in the hands of Hazrat Muadh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he feels a great amount of roughness on the hands of Hazrat Muadh. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired from him, "O Muadh, what has happened? Why are your hands so rough?" So Hazrat Muadh radiallahu ta'ala anhu began to explain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that on the one hand, I looked after the administration of the people. You had left me in charge, so I saw to their needs and necessities. And on the other hand, I had to see to the need and necessity of my family. So I went out into the woods and I began to chop wood. And as a result, my hands have become blistered. It has become rough. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these hands of yours, the fire of Jahannam will not touch it. Similar incident of Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu once meets Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu puts his hand in the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, "Jabir, Why are your hands so rough? So Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am a horse farrier, and I make the shoes of a horse. So the task is a very difficult task, and hence my hands become rough. So again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Jabir, these hands of yours, the fire of Jahannam will not touch. So we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown very many glad tidings insofar as a person earning with his own hands. Insofar as business is concerned, we even find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, provided it is a righteous transaction, then that will be a means of a person's closeness to Allah. In one riwayat, he will, that person who is an honest trader will be the first to enter Jannah. In one riwayat, that person who earns and toils will be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we find all these ahadith, and obviously the ulama are unanimous on this, that it is that earning, that trade, that profession, whatever the mode of earning be, has to be halal, and it has to be according to the Shariat. Brothers, you know, in Ibn Majah there is one riwayat about how particular people were with regards to what was theirs and what was not theirs. Today, unfortunately, we are in an environment that everything is ours. Father leaves the world, mother is there, brother is there, sister is there, everything is ours. In Ibn Majah, there is this riwayat that one person had sold his property to another person. So the purchaser purchased the property, the seller got his money, and after a while, the purchaser began to dig into the ground, and he found some treasure, treasures of gold. Now the question is, whose gold is it? Perhaps, if it was anybody else, they wouldn't have even spoken about it. They would have buried it, although taking it out of the ground, but buried the story. Here, he goes to the seller, and he says, "Bhai, I only bought the property. I didn't buy this, this is yours." That man said, "I only had a property and I only sold a property to you, so this is not mine." Now I don't know, as a Mufti Sahib may be able to tell us, that an arbitration, mediation comes to a common person, that it is not mine and it is not mine. Both the parties are denying, they're not making the claim. Today we make claims of everything. So the arbitrator then asked the one person, "Do you have a child?" He said, "Yes, I got a son." The other, "Do you have a child?" He said, "Yes, I got a daughter." "So marry your daughter to his son and give them the gold." So that was one zamana, that was one era in the people of the past, where honesty was absolute. People did not take what was not theirs. So now in this environment and in this world, no matter how much a person may want to tread on the path of caution, one may want to try as far as possible to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but obviously the knowledge of it is required. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that if a person engages in business transaction, and if he does not know the masail of deen, then it may inevitably result in the person getting involved in riba. He had no intention. He doesn't want to get involved in riba. But because we do not know the masail, and again, if we see around us, there are so many transactions that we ourselves engage in, that sometimes we don't know whether it is permissible or not permissible. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say that if you have not learned the masail of deen, the masail of trade, the laws of trade, then do not even come to our marketplace. In Fadail al-Tijarat, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi makes mention of a jeweler that was in Saharanpur, he was not a Muslim. But yet, because he used to deal with Muslims, he used to ask the Mufti of Saharanpur and learn the masail. Because obviously, gold and trading in gold, the masail are more sensitive than the other masail of deen. And like that, he came to know the masala. Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that even sometimes a Muslim used to go there not knowing the rule, not knowing the masala. He used to tell him that according to you people, this is not jais. Now where do we see that today? So those were those people. We look in the life of our Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu once comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one sa'a, 3.2 kilograms odd of kajur, beautiful barni kajur. So if you just say 1 kilogram of kajur he brings to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought and he asked Bilal, "Oh Bilal, where did you get this from?" So Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, now he is a sahabi of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had 2 kilos of inferior quality. So what I did was I took these 2 kilos of inferior quality and I gave it to somebody, to some merchant, and he gave me 1 kilo of superior quality." Now this is in actual fact riba, it is interest. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that beware that this is interest. Now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stop there. And this is a very beautiful aspect of our deen. That, and especially our ulama, that they wouldn't just say everything is haram, but they will show us how to conduct the transaction. And this was the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Bilal, what you should have done was you should have sold that 2 kilos, got the money for it, and with that money, you should have purchased the 1 kilo. See, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he simplified it to such an extent. So be that as it may, brothers, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Hazrat Mufti sahab, Hazrat Mohan Naim sahab, for coordinating this kind of program. When we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the environment of Madina Munawara, the environment of learning, one was the environment of the Ashabu Sufa, that these people used to leave their homes. And under great mujahada, great sacrifice, they used to come and sit on that platform of Masjid al-Nabawi. And they used to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to undergo many, many difficulties. We know the story of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that sometimes they used to fall because of hunger. That was one group of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now this dars also, the sabaks that you are going to be doing, alhamdulillah, is going to be from the ahadith of Bukhari Sharif. And all the ulama are unanimous that asahhu al-kitab ba'da kitabullah tahta adim as-sama, that this is the most authentic kitab after the kitabullah, after the Quran Kareem, under the sky. You are never going to get another more authentic compilation that was compiled by a human being. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us the opportunity of sitting and learning. One is to hear qala Allah and qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very, very great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala privileges us with. And one is to hear these ahadith of Bukhari Sharif is another very great honor. So one was that tabaqa, that group of sahaba that used to be by the Ashabu Sufa. Then when we look at Imam Bukhari rahmatullah ali, he opens a chapter, Babul Khuruj fil ilm, that sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum didn't only throng and come to Madina Munawwara, but after the demise and the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba would go out to learn the deen of Allah. There he brings one hadith of Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who heard a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to hear it from the original source. And the original source of that hadith was all the way in Misr, all the way in Egypt. So Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala who travels 1 month to get there. And what does he say to that person, Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala an, that I have come to you to hear this before you die or before I die. He's heard the hadith, but now he wants to hear it from the lips that heard it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you will find Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi open another chapter in his kitab, Babur Rihla fi Mas'alatin Nazila, that one sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu had got married, Hazrat Uqba ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and now there was an issue in his marriage, we won't go into the details. He gets on to his animal, and he mounts and he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask about the mas'ala in itself. Now this was the original. Here, nobody needs to travel 1 month. And here, nobody needs to get onto any horse. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this to us right into our masjid. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi opens another chapter, Babu Tanawub fil ilm, where he brings the hadith of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which may be more relevant to us. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in one period of time in his life, he began to engage in some tijarat, in some business. On the one hand, the necessity of earning. And on the other hand, to not to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to miss out on what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have said, or what wahi, what ayat of the Quran Kareem had come down. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who devised a plan. Between him and his neighbor, they began to have turns. That one day you go into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you learn, and then you come back, and you tell me what you have learned. And then the next day, I will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will learn, and I will come back, and I will tell you, so both of us don't miss out on the knowledge that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving. But even easier than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to learn the masail of deen, the opportunity to learn the intricacies of deen. There is no doubt in the fact that in the world that we are trading in, there are these intricacies, and there is no doubt in the fact that if we are not careful, then somewhere we may violate the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, some of us, are just careless in our earnings. Others are very careful in their earnings. And those who may be absolutely careful, but if we do not have the knowledge of deen, then unfortunately we may fall into this trap. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that we may get involved in interest and in riba. Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah Ali, he was a great alim, a great buzruq. Ulama have written he was Sahibul Kashf al Kubur. If you walk past a qabr, he was able to tell you who the inmate of the qabr was and what was the condition of that inmate. When he passed away, actually, the story we hear about Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, that the earth around him, the ground around him, the sand around him began to smell like musk. And people used to come and take that fragrance, that sand away. Similar is the incident of Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah alayhi. So somebody asked him, Hazrat, tell me one thing. Explain to me, how did you reach the stage? Now when a person reaches that stage, we would expect to hear that the whole night was in nafil ibadat and the whole day was in roza. He said one thing. Is I kept away from anything that was doubtful. I kept away from anything that was doubtful. So brothers and friends, on the one hand we have the zeal and enthusiasm to keep away from things that are doubtful, and on the other hand, we may get involved in it because of the lack of knowledge. So alhamdulillah, this dars that will take place is a very, very important dars. It is an important aspect of our deen. It is something that if our earnings are right, then inshallah, thumma inshallah, our ibadat will also be correct. If our earnings is correct, inshallah, we will find that in our homes, in our hearts, in our minds, there will be a lot of sukoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put abundant barakah in whatever we earn. And when we speak about barakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that distress from our hearts. That tension that we have all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put chain and sukoon into our hearts. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains us with, it will be sufficient for us. And through that, whatever Allah has given us, we will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything is tainted, then the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear, that a person with disheveled hair, his clothing also is dusty and tattered, and that person lifts his hands, ulama say that this will be the scene of the day of Arafat. He lifts his hands and he asks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how is that going to be accepted when the clothes that he wears is from haram sources, the food that he has eaten is from haram, everything of his is haram. So how would that be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So brothers, a very, very humble request is that we try and attend this program, we try and learn, and inshallah the Mufti Sahib will have a very, very systematic and a structured question and answer system. So let us try and take maximum benefit from this, and let us sit here with an intention that we want to learn, so that we will be able not only to earn, but we will learn to earn in a halal manner. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala bless all of you, and may Allah ta'ala reward all of you. Allah reward Hazrat Mufti Sahib also, and Maulana Naim Sahib, and all those that put this program together, and Allah make it a means and a zariya of our najat.
Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. Most respected ulama-i kiram, huffaz-i kiram, brothers, friends, and all the people that are listening to this program through the receivers and through live streaming, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. At the outset, I want to express my shukriya, my gratefulness, my gratitude to Hazrat Maulana Naim Sahib for availing us the opportunity to have these discourses of Kitabul Buyu of Bukhari Sharif, the chapter of Islamic Finance, Business and Economics. We make dua to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept these discourses, and Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make it a means of His Ridwan and His pleasure. I also want to express my shukriya, my gratefulness to Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Chauhan Sahib for that very thought-provoking and inspiring advices. We make dua that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make the benefit of His uloom complete and comprehensive. That anecdote by Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Chauhan Sahib was indeed thought-provoking. And just to contextualize it, the person was looking for his pearl under the light pole. And after searching and searching and searching for it, he found out that that pearl was somewhere else. In the same way, it is unfortunate that today we are looking for the values of Islamic finance, business and economics in the conventional field. If we want the real values of Islamic finance, business and economics, then we have to find it and revert to the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of Jahiliyyah, in the pre-Islamic era, when the world was infested, the world was saturated with every form of evil. And after approximately 600 years, the very first word of wahi, of revelation that came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Iqra. read. Which implies seek knowledge. I just want to draw your attention to the four alphabets of the word Iqra. There is an alif there, there is a qaf there, there is a ra with a fatah on it, and there is a hamza with a sukoon on it. We learn two etiquettes of seeking knowledge and two benefits of seeking knowledge just with the very first word that came upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That alif, it's the first word of the Arab alphabetical order. Prioritize our ilm. The most important thing is to seek knowledge. When we pronounce the word Iqra, we come by the qaf, we get stuck. It implies devotion and dedication to knowledge. We go on further with the ra, there is a fatah, a zabar on it. When we prioritize our life with the knowledge of deen, we devote and dedicate ourselves with the knowledge of deen, then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will elevate our status. And then we get the sukoon of that hamza. After acquiring knowledge, then the real humanity will come into us. The respect, the dignity and honor will come into us. And this is what a shair says. Ilm se hota hai insaan muhtaram. Ilm se hota hai insaan bawakar. Ilm se hota hai farogh insani. It is through knowledge that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives us respect, dignity and honor. It is through knowledge that we propagate the true humanity that Allah has put into us. Respected elder and friends, with every obligation of a sharia comes another obligation. Let me repeat. With every farz, with every obligation of sharia comes another obligation. If it is farz upon us to earn an income, it is equally farz with this obligation that we learn how to earn an income. And that is why it is very, very important for us to have these discourses of Islamic finance, business and economics so that we could reform, we could understand how to earn our income. And especially we from the Indian community, business-orientated people, some people have very correctly mentioned that business is in our blood. And some people even mention that many of the Indians are born as businessmen. So it is in us, we can't do without business. It is also correctly mentioned that an Indian businessman is such, he will buy something for nothing and he will sell it for a change. And this can be correctly amplified with a beautiful anecdote. There was one Indian, he was flying abroad. To his shock, surprise and amazement, he found Einstein sitting next to him. The great philosopher. Now one can imagine what thought must have gone into his mind. Einstein sitting right next to me, long flight. They got talking to one another and Einstein told to him, we've got a long flight. So we should do something very, very constructive in the flight. Let us exchange knowledge with each other. But let's put a deal in place. I will ask you a question. If you are unable to answer me, then you must pay me $5. And if you ask me a question, I'm unable to answer it, I'll give you $500. So, the first question Einstein asked this business person, this Indian person, tell me, what's the distance from the earth to the moon? He was a normal person, he didn't know about science, he knew nothing about physics. He applied his mind, he took out $5 and he gave it to Einstein. Now, it was his turn to ask Einstein a question. He asked, tell me, What is that that goes up the hill with three legs and returns with four legs on earth? Einstein, with all his knowledge in the world of physics, applying his mind, he failed. He took out $500 and gave it to this Indian. Now Einstein had to ask another question. But he said, before I ask you my question, let me ask you one thing. What is that creature that goes up with three legs and comes back with four legs? That Indian person took out $5 and gave it to him. Most respected elders and friends, we are here to acquire ilm-e-deen. And it is famously known that ilm, knowledge, it revolves around three axes. First is ilm, to seek that knowledge. And it is very beautifully stated by one person, Islam and knowledge are consistent with each other. And somebody put it in another way, that Islam and ignorance are inconsistent with each other. Let me repeat. Islam and knowledge, they are consistent with each other. When a person says a Muslim, he has to have knowledge. At least basic knowledge. You can't say that you are a Muslim and you have no knowledge. Islam and ignorance, they are contradictories. They cannot go side by side. And it is also important to understand how Hazrat Maulana has mentioned Shariat had emphasized so much on seeking knowledge. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he used to have discourses of hadith in a masjid. The general masses used to come, they used to pay so much attention in the discourse of Abdullah ibn Abbas that once they decided to count the number of inkpots. In those days, they used to write with the reeds and the inkpot. So after the discourse, they counted the inkpots in the masjid. It was approximately 40,000 inkpots. Just from the taking the lessons of those discourses. One person, Asad ibn Furat, great alim of his time, he came to Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi and told Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, teach me something. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi told him, I'm so busy, day in, day out, I have no time. But look at the zeal, the enthusiasm of the person in seeking in the knowledge of deen and shariat. Imam Muhammad told him, when I wake up for tahajjud and I make wudu, at that time, sit next to me, whatever comes into my mind, I'll teach you at that time. Respect elder and friends, this is for us to create that shock, to create a desire of seeking knowledge in us. And third thing, the purpose of knowledge, knowledge itself is not maqsood. Knowledge itself is not purposeful. Knowledge itself is not an objective. Knowledge is a means of achieving an objective. And this is understood from the Quran, wherein Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, speaking about the Yahud, they've got so much of knowledge. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارًا. Allah gave them knowledge, but they didn't practice of the knowledge. That knowledge is like a book, or like a load of books on the back of a donkey. The purpose of that knowledge is to practice upon it. And this takes me to the second point. It is stated, knowledge should not be stagnated with academics, with theory, and with philosophy. Let me repeat. Knowledge is not something to be stagnated with theory. Knowledge is not something to be stagnated with philosophy and ideology. Knowledge is something that has to be transported. Knowledge is something that has to be changed into a practical way of life. And this is what we found in the lives of our akabirin. And I will just take a few more minutes before I terminate. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, before conducting his discourses of knowledge of hadith, he asked the people, what's the definition of knowledge? So one person said, to knowledge is to know, to understand. He asked somebody else, what's the definition of knowledge? Somebody told to comprehend. He asked somebody else, what's the definition of knowledge? Somebody said to ponder and reflect. After everybody gave up, somebody asked, Hazrat, you define what is knowledge. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab gave a very thought-provoking answer. And he said, knowledge. Ilm of Deen, it is a noor. It is a light. When it enters into the heart, it makes a person uneasy until he practices on that ilm. And that is the purpose that we should be seated here. Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what a great, remarkable, illustrious sahabi he was. He had so much of wealth, so much of wealth. Once I made a calculation of his wealth, take into consideration the inflation rate of 1,500 years. If you have to calculate the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Awf and compare it with the Ruperts of today's time, and leave aside the Rupert family of South Africa, even if you have to compare it with the wealth of Bill Gates today, taking into consideration the inflation rate of 1,500 years, the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Awf 1,500 years will supersede the wealth of Bill Gates of today. In spite of that, he was so steadfast. When he had passed away, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, Allah blessed Abdurrahman ibn Awf with so much of wealth, but the wealth never deter him from the istiqamat of deen. The relationship of the wealth was like a master and a slave. They controlled the wealth, they didn't let the wealth control them. And thirdly, respected elder and friends, the third axis of ilm is ikhlas. Whatever we require knowledge, do it solely for the ridwan, solely for the pleasure of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There's a dua of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma la taj'ali dunya akbar hammina, wa la ghayata raghbatina, wa la ghayata ilmina. Allah, don't make the dunya my objective. And my knowledge, it shouldn't be to acquire the dunya. How can we acquire dunya through ilm? Ilm is to make you a better human being. Ilm is not, we shouldn't be seated here just to learn that I learned something about creating a Sharia compliant investment scheme. That shouldn't be the purpose of sitting here. Yes, we will learn quite a few things, but our objective should be that what is Islamic finance, values of Islamic finance, business economics, all about, that should be our objective of seated here. So, Almighty Allah Tabar give us tawfiq, Allah give us hidayat, that we value these kind of programs. And inshallah, from next week, we will commence the hadiths of Kitabul Buyu of Bukhari Sharif. Take into consideration, we will be in the masjid. Take into consideration, it will be a dars of hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, it will be a dars of hadith, but the purpose will be Islamic finance, business and economics. It's not going to be a dars of hadith as such. So nobody should go out from here thinking that they have become a sovereign in hadith. A science of hadith, a totally separate subject altogether. And when we're sitting here for the dars of hadith and learning these laws of Sharia, sit with respect and adab. Harun al-Rashid once came to a masjid. Imam Malik was presenting a discourse of hadith. So he came and he sat against the wall, not showing that amount of respect to the extent of what the dars of hadith would desire. So Imam Malik rahmatullah to Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, inna min ajlalillah ayyu azziz al-ilm. It is the greatness of Almighty Allah that you show respect and honor to knowledge. Second point, respect elders and friends, because it's going to be discussions of hadith, I will be touching on quite a few contemporary issues. And we'll try to contextualize the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with what happens practically in the field of business and economics. Come with your pen, come with your papers, come with your notebooks. There's a hadith, or there's a saying, قَيِّدُ الْعِلْمِ بِالْكِتَابَ. Capture knowledge by writing it down. One is to listen, but at the same time, capture the knowledge and write down that knowledge. And third thing, as far as the Q&A is concerned, I will not be fielding any questions from the ground. I will not be taking questions from people directly. This doesn't mean that I wouldn't endeavor to satisfy you. We would have a box. And in that box, you could put your questions and answers there. Your questions there. And I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Ilm is amanat. It is a great amanat. And it can never be expected that somebody would ask a question and I would give the answer immediately. In fact, if I would do it, then I would not be making ihtiyat and precaution. So therefore, anybody has any questions, especially when it comes to finance related issues, there are so many laws of Sharia to apply to that, and it will be against ihtiyat and precaution for me to answer immediately. So I will go through it. If you have your detail on that paper, inshallah, we will communicate with you directly, and thereafter we will also give you answers. Yes, of course, when you're asking questions also, then the purpose of asking this question is to educate yourself. Don't ask a question so that you use the answer to probably show your point to somebody else, or probably you've got a business-related dispute with someone, and you've got an answer, now you're going to use it for that. Solely sit here with ikhlas, with illahiyat, for the pleasure of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. We ask Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Chauhan Sahab to make the dua, inshallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم ارتف بنا في تيسير كل أسير فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير اللهم اغفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عن من سواك almost merciful Allah forgive each and every sin that we have committed. O Allah, this endeavor, Ya Allah, to teach your deen, Ya Allah, most especially, Ya Allah, in buyu'at, in the aspects of finance and trade and commerce, Ya Allah. O Allah, accept it, O Allah, make it a means of hidayat, Ya Allah, for Hazrat Mufti Sahab, for Hazrat Mawlana Naeem Sahab, for all the musallis, all those that sit, Ya Allah, for all ummat of our Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. O most merciful Allah, give us that ikhlas and sincerity, O Allah, that it takes for us to benefit from this knowledge, O Allah. O most merciful Allah, if we have been doing any wrong, Ya Allah, you forgive us in our business, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, give us the courage, Ya Allah, to change the concepts, O Allah, if it is in conflict with the Sharia, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, grant us all halal rozi, Ya Allah, halal sustenance. Ya Allah, grant us barakah in our rozi and our sustenance, Ya Allah. Such barakah, Ya Allah, that through our sustenance, Ya Allah, you grant us your qurb. Ya Allah, you grant us Jannatul Firdaus. You grant us, O Allah, that place space under your arsh, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah. O most merciful Allah, O most merciful Allah, above all, Ya Allah, make us more, the most obedient of your servants that walk the surface of this earth. Grant us taqwa in everything that we do, Ya Allah. O Allah, give us the quality of abstaining from haram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, turn our hearts towards you. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ